You'll open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20, please. I picked this chapter long before I knew Brother Frankie was going to be preaching out of 21. And when you find your place, you can go ahead and stand. We'll just read a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 20, look there in verse 1. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. So basically he just says, All right, sure. That's not what I would say, probably. Look there in verse 5, And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. For sake of time, we're going to jump down to... Picked a long chapter. I should have preached a psalm tonight, y'all. Okay, jump down to verse 12. And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this. So basically, Ahab told him, I'm not going to do that. And when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array, and they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So God's going to reveal himself to wicked Ahab, who wants nothing to do with God. He hasn't asked for God's help. He's actually, this is after Mount Carmel, when Ahab and Jezebel sent all their prophets of Baal up to Mount Carmel, and the fire came down and burnt up Elijah's offering. You all know the story. But Ahab's a pagan king. He hasn't even looked for God. And God said, Look, I'm going to show myself great to you. I'm going to deliver this host into your hand. And so Ben-Hadad brings his army. They war against the men of Israel. And 7,000 men of Israel beat more than 100,000 Syrians. And God shows himself mighty. And so then Ben-Hadad thinks, you know, maybe it was just because his God is a God of the hills. We're going to go fight him elsewhere. And so, jump down to verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. How would you like that if that was our theme for the year? The king of Syria is coming up against you next year. So get ready. Maybe that's our theme for 2027. I don't know. Probably not. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And I'll go ahead and let you be seated, and we'll finish a couple verses. I forgot I had y'all standing, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. So Ben-Hadad told Ahab to become one of his servants. There in verse 3, Ben-Hadad says, Thy silver gold is mine. Thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. And so what he's saying is basically, I'm taking responsibility for your household. Now, when I was a kid, my parents would tell me, look, everything that you have is mine. Your bed is mine. Your water is mine. The air you breathe is mine. The light you turn on is mine. My parents had a ton of Legos. They were all theirs. No, my parents weren't playing with the Legos, and they let me breathe the air myself, but they were saying, this is mine, I'm responsible for it. That's basically what Ben-Hadad is saying at first. He's saying, look, I'm responsible, everything that you have, it's mine. You understand what I'm saying? But that's not good enough. Well, okay, so Ahab hears that, and he says, okay, that sounds great to me, because here's what's going to happen. He's going to become essentially a state of Syria. And he sees it as an opportunity to gain status among the kingdoms, to gain status as a king, as a state of Syria. He's not just a small little king in a tiny little nation of Israel. He's a member of Syria. And that brought some real status in the area. So Ahab says, sure, man, I'll come join you. But that wasn't good enough for Ben-Hadad. And so Ben-Hadad says, I'm actually going to take everything that is goodly and precious in your sight. And of course, that kind of threatened Ahab's status, kind of hurt his pride a little bit. And he said, I don't think I can do that. And so Ahab had 7,000 guys. Ben-Hadad had 100,000. I don't know what Ahab's plan was to fight against him, but he was just going to not give in. He wasn't going to give up because of his pride's sake. And then we have God, who in his goodness, his kindness, his tender compassion to wicked Ahab, comes up to him and says, look, Ahab, you haven't asked for me. I don't know what your plan is, but I'm going to help you because I want to show myself great to you, Ahab. You despise me, but I care for you. And so God does a great work here in the first battle. And 7,232 actually is the number of the Israelites, and they beat back 127,000 Syrians. And God shows himself mighty. And in that message, God tells Ahab, look, I'm going to deliver them into your hand. He's telling Ahab, you are going to kill every last one of the Syrian army. I'm delivering them to you. Ahab, I'm going to show myself great. I'm going to do a great work for you, but this is what I want you to do. When I deliver them to you, you're going to kill them because they're not going to rise up against me. They're not going. Ben-Hadad is making it about his gods. Ahab's not making it about the Lord God. Ben-Hadad is saying, look, our gods are better than Jehovah. And so God is saying, look, he's not going to do that. I'm not going to let him do that. When I deliver him to you, you're going to kill him. That was God's command to Ahab. And so the first battle, they retreat, and God tells Ahab, they're coming back in a year. Get ready. That's your theme for this year. They put up banners everywhere. They put it on all their bulletins. Ben-Hadad's coming back. And they were excited for this next year's anniversary because Ben-Hadad's coming back. And so Ben-Hadad came back and God gave him a great victory, but Ahab didn't obey. Ahab chose to go his own way. Look there in verse 30. The rest, so the remainder of the Syrians who escaped the second battle fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left, and Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. And his servant said unto him, behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes on our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So Ben-Hadad fully expected to die because of attacking Israel. So they girded sackcloth on their loins, there in verse 32, and put ropes on their heads, and came to the king of Israel and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And then Ahab responds, he says, and he said, is he yet alive? He is my brother. He was his enemy. He was his mortal enemy. He was his target. He was the people's enemy number one, because God had told him, you're supposed to kill him, Ahab. I'm delivering him into your hand, Ahab. Three times now, God has told him, I'm delivering him into your hand, Ahab. This is your command. And Ahab, he's now, God has given him victory twice over Syria. And now Ahab is presented with the same choice. Look, Ahab, now you know how great God is because he gave you this great victory twice. So Ahab, here's your options. Are you going to choose to obey the Lord, to show that God is greater than the gods of Syria? Or are you going to seek status? And Ahab chose to seek status. He extended the hand of friendship to the person who should have been his enemy, who God had told him was his enemy. Not just that he was a political enemy. God Almighty from his throne in heaven had told Ahab, he is your enemy. And Ahab decided, I'm going to go my own way. And so basically Ben-Hadad and Ahab enter into an agreement saying that, look, you'll get neighborhoods in Syria. We have neighborhoods in Israel. We'll trade together. We'll both be partners will be equal. And Ahab got what he wanted, but he disobeyed. Jump down to verse 42. A prophet comes, and it's actually a really funny story. You should read it on your own time. There, verse 35 through 41. But a prophet comes to Ahab in verse 42, and he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Folks, this is a lesson that I want us to understand and to grasp from this passage tonight, is that God gives us commands. We know what God wants us to do. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us prodding us, convicting us, pointing us in the right direction. If God gives you a command, obey. If you do not, there are consequences. Ahab found out there would be consequences for his disobedience. Folks, you know what God wants you to do. Maybe you say, God wants me to spend more time in my Bible. Or maybe you say, I know God wants me in church on Wednesday nights. Or maybe you say, I know God doesn't want me to speak to my parents that way. Or maybe you say, I know God wants me to be more involved in this ministry or that ministry, or pray more or give more or treat this person this way or whatever it is. You know what God wants you to do. Just obey. And I wonder what would happen if we entered 2026 with this mindset that whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. It may not be what I want. Ahab wanted status. It may not be what we want that God wants us to do. But what would happen if we told God, look, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And folks, if we would have that attitude and humbly submit ourselves to the will of God, we could sit back and just wait and see the amazing things God could do in 2026 and beyond. I think that God could reach our community with our church. I think God could do great things with our church if we would be humbly submitted to do the will of God.